Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 313 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you this week. And on the show, we will be hearing from the Hoff. Yes, a little later on, David Hasselhoff will be on the phone. No, really, David Hasselhoff is on the phone. We're having a chat with him a little later. We'll be hearing about makeshift Wolverhampton. Sam Axtell on the phone to tell us about the goings-on on the projects taking place in Wolverhampton. We'll have music from Bookends, Dan Haynes and Pete Richards, bringing you the music of Simon and Garfunkel. They're on at the Robin next month. We'll be having a natter with them today too. We'll also be hearing about A Song for All Seasons when Mike Coop let us know about the event taking place in Penn. David Tristram let us know all about Doreen the movie. Yes, it is on the way to a cinema near you. But first of all, the case of the mousetrap is at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from Monday the 29th of June to Saturday the 4th of July. I'm joined now on the phone by one of the suspects in what is a bit of a murder mystery, Mr. Paravicini. Hello.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm very well. Now, can you tell me your whereabouts at the time the incident occurred?
I'm not telling you anything. You always have you people on the radio, you always try to trap me into telling you something about the mouse trap, but I'm going to keep my trap shut, I think.
I'm going to giggle too much if we carry on talking with you and carry to Jonathan. Jonathan Sidgwick, one of the cast of The Mousetrap. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing? Yeah, nice to speak to you.
And a completely different accent, which is always quite impressive. Yeah. So you are Mr. Paravicini in The Mousetrap.
Indeed,
of course,
yeah.
It's a hugely long-running play. It's still the 60th anniversary tour, but obviously this has been on the road now for a few years. So.
Well, that's right. This is the third year of the 60th anniversary tour, yes. I don't know how long they thought it might go on for, but if the London run's been going on for 63 years continuously, maybe the tour will go on for quite some time as well.
You never know, but, could you? Yeah. You could be celebrating the 120th while still on the road. But obviously The Mousetrap is a play that everybody knows something about, but hopefully until they've seen it they don't know who did it, because it's one of the best kept secrets in the history of theatre. And it's coming back to Wolverhampton because it was so popular when it passed round first time as part of the 60th anniversary tour.
Excellent. It's our second time round now. I hadn't realised that. Yes, this tour is taking in some places that we haven't played before, and then some obviously that they wanted us back. So I wasn't aware about it. I've never played Wolverhampton myself, so I'm looking forward to that. It's very exciting for me. I didn't know much about the play myself. Even as an actor, we don't know. Nobody will tell us. And I'd never been to see it in the West End. I walked past the theatre in the West End quite often, but I hadn't actually been to see it. But then I got the script, and I didn't know myself until I read it. And it's a very funny play as well. As well as it's been a murder mystery and you don't know what's going on most of the time, it's very funny as well. I read the read-through. It's quite hilarious, all the different characters. She's written it very well, like Agatha Christie. It's very cutting about people at the time, you know, and the British society. It's quite, just after the war. It's fascinating. It plays out on very, very many different levels.
And it is, many different levels. As you say, it is record-breaking, and that is for a reason. But, I mean, it has had this air of mystery around it, and not knowing who's done it until you go and see it is vitally important to the play. And
the
concept of the audience being asked to keep it quiet, even in this internet age, it's very British, isn't it, really?
Well, maybe that's part of the charm. That's right, because everything is so readily available now. I mean, even if you go to a pub quiz, you have to ban the iPhones because everybody can get information straight away. We've lost something. We've lost some of the charm, haven't we, of actually figuring things out. It's fantastic. At the interval, sometimes our tour manager goes out and walks among the audience, and you can hear people. You can hear people say, well, is it that person? Is it that person? Well, where did he come from? Well, what's he doing? And, of course, it could be anybody. You really don't know. You really don't know until the end. And most people, from what I can see, get it wrong. Yeah, you really can't tell, because we're all playing out different games as well on stage and within the mystery itself. And it is quite a strong reveal. And I guess that is the charm of it. That is the charm of The Mousetrap. And, of course, at the end, there is an announcement now. You're part of the Mousetrap family. You're part of theatre history. Please do not pass on who done it. And people quite like that as well, you know. And nobody will tell you.
No.
Nobody should tell you anyway.
And I have seen it, and I will not tell a soul.
Right. And yeah, we're having people come. We were in Dundee a couple of weeks back, and a couple came up to me afterwards, and they thoroughly enjoyed it, and they said they actually saw it in the 50s in London.
Wow.
In about 1956, and then they saw it again. Isn't that remarkable? So people do come back. I think people enjoy it so much, they say, well, let's go, let's bring such and such, and they bring friends to see it again. And that's part of the fun, you know?
You're part of this, as are many stars. I mean, you've done Hollyoaks, Coronation Street, and all that little lot. But the cast list in this as well, they're all recognisable faces who are going to be on stage telling a story which is so many years old. And it must be great being part of the cast and the family that is The Mousetrap on tour.
Oh, it's fantastic being on tour, yes. I mean, I haven't played it in the West End, but I imagine in the West End, you know, you have your life during the day and then you just go to work. Whereas this is quite different. We were out at a party last night. Two of the stage manager and one of the understudy ladies, they put on a little cheese and wine at their digs. And even though we've been with each other now for 5 or 6 weeks, you think we'll be getting tired of each other. We're not. It's nice to socialise. It's a really good, fun group. And you have to have that attitude, I think, for touring, you know, because we finish, we might do, say, two shows on a Thursday, one on Friday, two on a Saturday, and you've got to travel. Like, for example, now we're in, I'm talking to you from Newark, and then we're going down to Eastbourne. It's quite a long way, and then back up to Scunthorpe, then across to Wolves. So you're pretty tired. So you've really got to want to tour. You've really got to want to do this. And when you come to meet again on a Monday afternoon for the sound check, it's great to see your little Mousetrap family again, get back on stage. And of course, living in 30 different locations over the next 30 weeks, the only sitting room I recognise is the one on stage. I'm getting comfortable with the furniture. The most comfortable seat is the one on stage. It's quite remarkable, yeah. It looks fantastic. I mean, the set is amazing. You recognise an English drawing room. You recognise characters. It's like sitting down to watch a Poirot or a Miss Marple, you know, a traditional murder mystery like that, and hilariously funny as well. An hour for the first act, quitting interval, and another hour, so you're not sitting too long. It's a great play. And it's funny that the owner of the play, I think one of the producers, Stephen Wally Cohen, was saying, you know, you guys, you must commit to it as actors. This is an old play, but we need to see it as a fresh play. And I said to him, well, you know, it's only 63 years old. Shakespeare's 400 years old. Chekhov is 120 years old. This is a new play. And he said, oh, I never thought of that. Because it is. As an actor, it's a new play every night, you know?
It must be great, though, having a bit of an interesting character as well, because Mr. I've got to try to say Paravicini again now.
Paravicini, he's the greatest character, I have to say. He's fantastic. Don't tell anybody, but he's the character I wanted to play anyway. A colleague of mine played it for the last year on the West End and then the last tour, and he couldn't continue with this tour because he had family in London and blah, blah, blah. And I called him when I was... I was off the job quite quickly. I was doing a play in London, and I went up for the audition. And I thought, well, this is an outrageous character. He's big, he's Italian, he's flirtatious, and he's, you know, Italians obviously love life. And so I looked online, I looked at a few Italian characters in history and in the movies and things, Roberto Benigni, the director, what have you. And then I went on to Clapham Common, which is near where I live, and I thought, well, this is going to be quite difficult to pull this audition off, so I will talk to the trees. I will be Italian in the park. And if I can do this with people walking past and cars going past and honking horns, you know, I'm thinking, oh, there's another actor. Idiot. Then I will get over any nerves I have. So I went into the audition and I kind of brought it, and the director said, okay, that's quite nice, but I need it bigger. And I thought, okay, so I gave him big and I nailed it. But yeah, my friend who was doing it before, I said, what do you think? I said, it's a long tour. He said, no, do it. He said, you'll love it. So much fun. So much fun to come. Because everybody else is very English, of course. You know, very tweed and very well-spoken and very lovely. This guy just arrives, as they all do, out of the snowstorm and kind of shakes things up. And yeah, it's a delight to play.
A chance to be really flamboyant, fun, and Italian all at the same
very
time.
Very flamboyant, very, you know, kind of slightly dangerous as well underneath, but obviously very, very, oh, he thinks he's sexy. I won't say I am, but he thinks he's sexy. He likes to be, you know, flirtatious towards the ladies, and he obviously likes to just have fun and try to shake things up a little. Yes, it's a new, I haven't played anything quite like this before. And also a lot of laughs as well. I've often played quite darker characters. I play things like John Proctor in The Crucible. I played Heathcliff, obviously, as a Yorkshireman. That's a great role to play. They all get a lot of laughs, and there's lots of subtleties in it. And if you're tuned into it, and the audience very quickly tune into what's going on, it's hilarious what's happening on stage, yeah, as well as being, as you said, a mystery.
Well, I'm looking forward to it a second time when it arrives back at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. Once again, those dates are Monday the 29th of June through to Saturday the 4th of July. Evenings are at 7:30. Wednesday and Saturday there's a 2:30 matinee, and tickets are priced at £11.50 through £29.50. And you just got to pay your booking fee on top of that, which of course you can do when you book your tickets on 01902 429212 or via the Grand Theatre website, grandtheatre.co.uk. Sounds like you're going to be having fantastic fun both with the rest of the cast and in character. So Jonathan Sedgwick, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed. I hope to see you there and look forward to playing in Wolverhampton soon.
In the studio with me, we have Bookends, Dan Haynes and Pete Richards. Hello.
Hello.
How are we doing?
Good, thanks.
Very well. Thanks for having us on.
Good to have you here, because you're actually playing at the Robin 2 on Thursday the 9th of July. And it's good to get you here first and hear some of your wares. So just give us a brief outline of the whole Bookends concept to begin with.
We are a tribute to the music of Simon and Garfunkel. We label ourselves as a tribute to the music of, as we don't dress up during our shows or pretend to be them in any way.
You haven't really got the hair for it, to be fair, have you?
No, neither of us have. No. So
I didn't fancy putting on a big wig.
Well, I know the feeling, it's just not worth it sometimes.
Yeah.
You're really about performing the music. That's what you'll do now, and then we'll have a little chatter about you and your stuff in a minute or two. What are you going to hear from me first?
This is called Homeward Bound.
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination. On a tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escape, and home, where my music's playing, home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Every day's an endless stream of cigarettes and magazines. Each town looks the same to me, the movies and the factories. And every stranger's face I see reminds me that I long to be. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escape, and home, where my music's playing, home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Tonight I'll sing my songs again, I'll play the game and pretend. Come back to me in shades of mediocrity, like emptiness in harmony. I need someone to comfort me. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escape, and home, where my music's playing, home, where my love lies waiting silent.
That was truly fantastic. That was absolutely brilliant. Really enjoyed that. And I get the joy of sitting here with my headphones on listening to it, and that sounded even better. Not that it wasn't, because just I didn't look at you. But even so, no, that sounded great. So how did this show come about?
I suppose, well, me and Dan have been friends since we were at school, first year of school. And then when we were in college, we started to share music tastes and stuff like that. And Dan already played the guitar. And I guess I introduced him to Simon & Garfunkel. We started to learn some Simon & Garfunkel songs, but it wasn't until a lot later, about 3 years ago, that we actually put this show together and did this a bit more seriously.
Because I know you've been touring around, and I know it's a very popular show. It is. There's Simon & Garfunkel fans who can't go and see them because it's just not possible now. So, you know, it's amazing for you guys to be doing this.
Yeah, I think people really, really appreciate sort of the way we come at the show as well. Mm-hmm. Like I say, we don't make it a show that's over the top, and you know, it is just about the music and getting it right. And I think, you know, their sound is what touched these people when they were younger, and that's what we work on getting right.
And do you try and consciously sound like them, or is it just that you sound like them when you sing their songs?
I think it's not that we sound like them individually, but our voices blend well together as
no arguments
as
there.
Theirs did. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the fact that our voices go well together is what makes it sound so good.
And obviously this is touring, but you've also got the Edinburgh Fringe as well this year.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that one. We were up there last year and did 9 shows, actually selling out the last 3 or 4 nights, I think it was. So mm-hmm. Yeah, we're really looking forward to going back, and we're pushing it this time and doing 17 nights, so should be good.
No sleep at all, plenty of gigs, and a good time to be had up in Edinburgh. So we'll come back to you on and off, but give us the web address for your stuff so people can see where you are.
The best place for people to go is simonandgarfunkelbybookends.com.
And you've got a Facebook page as well, I think, haven't you?
Yeah, if people search Bookends Simon & Garfunkel Tribute, that'll take you to our page.
And if you do want to get along to the gig at the Robin too, I'll give you these details now. It is on Thursday, the 9th of July. Advance tickets are £10. On the door, it's £12.50. You can go to therobin.co.uk or give the box office a call on 01902 401211, and well worth getting yourself down there based on what we're hearing. So let's have another song. What are you going to play for us now?
We're going to do The Boxer.
I just a poor boy, though my story's seldom told. I've squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. Oh, lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. Where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. La la la, la 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 la, la la la, la la la. On 7th Avenue, I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome I took some comfort there. La 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 la, la la la, la 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 la.
Once again, absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
We're going to perform again in a bit, okay?
Yeah.
That's cool. We'll have more from Bookends, a.k.a. Dan and Pete. They are Simon and Garfunkel.
Makeshift is an ongoing programme in Wolverhampton. You may not know that much about it, so to tell us more and about a forthcoming meeting, we have Sam Axtell. Hello.
Hello.
Now, you're Consultation and Community Involvement Officer for Wolverhampton City Council.
That's right, yeah.
So, first of all, explain what that means and how this brings into the makeshift programme.
Okay, well, I deal with a whole raft of projects that are about involving communities in being more self-reliant, really. And Makeshift is one such initiative that we've been running for 4 years now. And so Makeshift is about supporting communities to come up with new ideas and new ventures that they can make happen for themselves. So it's not about the City Council doing anything for people, but it is about the City Council, alongside other partners, supporting communities to make real changes and differences within their own communities. So all the ideas that are come up with on the day and in the lead up come from communities themselves, and we're just there to lend some support, some ongoing sort of light touch facilitation and mentoring.
Because you will actually have a showcase event taking place on the 31st of October this year.
We do indeed, we do indeed. So that is our makeshift event. So that's really the big one where we hope that we're going to get around about 100 people coming together. And that is always a really, really exciting, invigorating event. We run it as something called an unconference. So that means that it puts the participants really in the driving seat. They actually decide on the day the agenda that's going to be discussed. They pitch the ideas that are going to be discussed. And we're just on hand, really, to help to manage the chaos. And from that chaos, certainly in our experience, something magical emerges. People really network. They work together to support each other's ideas, and by the end of the day we've really a lot further forward than we were at the start.
Yeah, I mean, networking an event like this could be something as simple as a couple of people getting together, someone complaining I've got a load of gravel to get rid of, and it's suddenly emerging that somebody else needs a load of gravel.
Well, this is it. This is exactly what happens. And I think probably if you looked at the 10 or so ideas that presented at last year's makeshift, just reviewing them prior to us getting together, 8 of those are really, really moving forward. But actually, if you look at those 8 projects, the kind of the crossover and the synergy between those 8 is absolutely immense. They're all working together, supporting each other. So it really is a real community of makeshifters that that we're helping to support.
So if somebody's got an idea for their community, they've suddenly realised that, yeah, things would be a lot better if there was some planting done in a traffic island somewhere, something like that. Mm. What actually happens? How do they get involved?
Right, well, probably the first thing to do is if they wanted to contact me by phoning 01902554918 or emailing me at sam.axtell, that's AXTELL, that's the number 2, at wolverhampton.gov.uk. We can begin to have a bit of a chat about their idea. I can help people to explore the feasibility of it. But then I'd suggest that perhaps they came along to one of our get-togethers. The next one is on the 9th of July. Or that they actually come along to the main event. And really, just takes a little bit of self-confidence or courage in order to do a 2-minute pitch of their idea. And I think what they'll find is that people will get behind that idea. People will come up with suggestions about how to strengthen that idea and support it, and before they know it they'll have all sorts of support and ideas about how to move that project forward.
And it could be there's something that's required in the feasibility that you may not have thought of that will come out of this group because of the experience that many of these people have now over 4 years of doing things and making things happen around the city.
Exactly. So one of our people who's a very active makeshifter, Elliot Lord, came to the first makeshift with an idea of developing a free organic garden. So he's been developing that now over the past 4 years and it's absolutely thriving. So what that is a gardening project where they've taken over a completely derelict piece of land. They've cleared that land. They're now planting it out, growing fruit and vegetables on there. Anyone that works on that garden can actually take away the produce from there. But what they found very quickly, they created quite a surplus, and what they're now doing is giving that surplus to the soup kitchens and food banks in the city, which unfortunately is a very needed service in Wolverhampton.
So good done by the community for the community, and support and guidance through people like yourself at the council.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because what we do, everyone that turns up to makeshift and pitches an idea, at the end of that, we actually allocate them a mentor, so somebody who's an experienced who can help them guide them through some of the pitfalls and maybe even some of the bureaucracy that they might face. It's just somebody they can sit down with every so often and have a coffee. And what people have found is that's been a really, really effective way of helping to navigate some of the pitfalls of delivering some of these initiatives.
So have you got a website where people can find out more if they just want to look online before building up the confidence to come and talk to you?
Yes, absolutely. We have a Facebook page. Just search for Makeshift Wolverhampton. We also have our website where I regularly blog, and so that is makeshiftwolverhampton.wordpress.com.
And you can get along there, read through what's happened in the past and see whether your idea fits in with the sort of thing that has happened. And even if it doesn't, get in touch anyway. Give you a call, 01902 554 918, and it could be that you're the first one doing something like that in the area.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, you know, there are no limits. The only limits really are people's imagination.
Well, Sam, hopefully over the next few weeks we'll have a chance to pop down and meet up with some of the makeshifters in Wolverhampton and have a chat with them in the environment of their project. But meanwhile, we will catch up with you again very soon as well. Sam, thanks for joining us.
That's brilliant. Thanks, Jason.
Time we took some more music from our resident musicians today. They're Dan Haynes and Pete Richards, and together they are Bookends, and they have their little gig, actually rather a big gig, at the Robin, when they're going to be Simon and Garfunkel on the 9th of July. So, lads, what you got for us this time around? Who's chosen?
I've chosen.
Okay. Pete, what is it?
We're going to do Leaves That Are Green.
All yours. Take it away.
I was 21 years when I wrote this song. 22 now, but I won't be for long. Time hurries on, and the leaves that are green turn to brown, and they wither with the wind, and they crumble in your. Once my heart was filled with the love of a girl, I held her close, but she faded in the night like a poem I meant to write. And the leaves that are green turn to brown, and they wither with the wind, they crumble in your hand. I threw a pebble in a brook and watched the ripples run away, and they never made a sound. And the leaves that are green turn to brown, crumble in your hand. Hello, 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 hello. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. That's all there is.
We'll get another tune out of you before you go, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Smart. Thank you. Many of you will be aware of the work, or lack of it, of Doreen Tipton, and she's actually coming to the cinema near you very soon to tell us more about it. The man behind the stories and the madness, David Tristram. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. Now, you're keeping yourself rather busy.
Yes, it happens occasionally.
And also loads of work for Jill Jordan, of course, who is the woman who brings Doreen to life.
She does indeed, yes.
Because you've recently been on tour. There was the Women on Top tour, which I went along to and really thoroughly enjoyed.
Thank you.
But it's all happening on the big screen now.
Yeah, we've been working on the movie now, in the background, as it were, on and off. Mainly off, but off and on, for about a year or so now, because it's one of those projects that we have to do in our own time, because it's not got the Hollywood budget and all the rest of it. But it's progressing, and we're about two-thirds of the way through it, and we're all set to get it complete for the autumn.
Which means you have some dates and screenings available now, and you're actually coming to Wolverhampton, Bridgnorth, Lichfield, Broseley, Stafford and Sutton Coldfield as gala performances.
That's right, yeah. We're doing a little mini-tour of the film. We call it a gala premiere, which is basically the screening of the film, obviously, but a few speeches and fun bits as well, and meeting a few of the characters and getting photo opportunities and all the rest of it.
Because
yeah.
Everybody wants a picture taken with Doreen.
I think so.
She probably would charge, though, knowing Doreen.
Oh, no, she wouldn't do that.
So they all start on Saturday the 17th of October with the Lighthouse here in Wolverhampton. Sunday the 18th, you're off to the Majestic in Bridgnorth.
Yep.
The 19th of October, the Garrick in Lichfield.
Mm-hmm.
24th of October, the Birch Meadow Centre in Broseley. And then on to Stafford on Monday the 26th at the Gatehouse there. And Saturday the 21st of November, you're at Highbury Theatre, Sutton Coldfield. And it's a case of keep checking back at the website, because these things will get added to as you go along, I'm sure.
We may add some dates, yes. Obviously, we want to try and sell the first lot first, but we may add dates as we go along, yeah.
And that can all be found at Doreen.tv?
Yeah, it's all on the website, Doreen.tv, yeah.
And what else has been happening in Doreen's world? Because she's been doing a bit of writing for the press, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's got a weekly column on the Sunday Mercury, which has been interesting and good fun, on the various topical things. So she expresses her views there and winds a few people up on that. And we're also planning a Christmas show as we speak, so that'll be something else to keep her busy.
Yeah, during December. She's got to pay for the presents of Trojan and Tangerine, hasn't she, sir?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Has to be done. Well, if you do want more, at Doreen.tv, as we said. David Tristram, thank you for joining us, and always good to talk to you. We're looking forward to seeing the movie as it makes its way around our area.
Pleasure, thank you very much.
Cheers, drop it now.
Thanks, bye.
Their One Born in District Choral Society present A Song for All Seasons. That takes place on Saturday, the 18th of July. It's at 7:30 at the Beckminster Methodist Church. To tell us more than that about it, I have Mike Cooper. Hello.
Hello, Jason.
How's it going?
It's fine, actually, thank you.
All things taking place in Penn, you're the man who knows all about them.
Well, yes, hopefully some of them, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you're a native of Pattingham, but even so, you get involved in everything, don't you?
It tends to happen that way, I'm afraid, yes. But I enjoy it. I fully enjoy it.
That's good.
It's just a beautiful place, you know.
Well, it's a fantastic area, isn't it?
Yeah, and, it really
is. Gorgeous scenery, and we can see that from the poster I have in front of me, yeah, displaying all about the event, looking at the Song for All Seasons, and it is a trip through the year with some brilliant music from the One Born in District Choral Society.
Yes, it's one of our, can I say, lighter concerts. We tend to do... normally at the St John's Church, these sort of heavier classical pieces, you know, Messiah and Brahms Requiem was the last one we did. But this one in the summer, we tend to be a lighter touch to it. So it's a mixture, actually, of light music and also readings as well that's applicable to, you know, spring, summer, autumn and winter.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ian Clark is a musical director. He'll be looking after the conducting on the night.
Yes, indeed.
A very professional-sounding choir, isn't it?
I've only been in it for a couple of years, but it's so impressive. There's I think it started in 1929, so it's got a lot of history. I know one lady, she's been in the choir since 1969, can you believe?
Wow.
So there's a lot of almost professional singers in there, good readers of music. And we do, although I'm part of it, we do produce a very nice sound, I must admit.
Well, it tells you something when the patron of the choir is John Rutter as well.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
yes.
But with his choral composing, yes. You know, he knows a thing or two about this kind of work.
He does, actually. He's 70 this year, as you probably heard in September.
Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, we did actually meet him a couple of weeks ago. We went to a sing-along at Birmingham University, and there he was. So we had a chat with him. Very nice gentleman.
That's all good.
So, yes, we're doing a couple of his pieces. There's a very nice arrangement that our own musical director has done, Ian Clark, who was taught by John Rutter, by the way. He's done Autumn Leaves, which is absolutely stunning arrangement, and also Summertime as well, so they slot nicely into that title that we've arranged. You know.
How many numbers strong is the choir these days?
We're normally about 80, 90. It depends, you know, we get people sometimes can't make concerts, so they drift away. We're normally at that sort of number.
So a lot of voices bringing this music to life on stage.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
Tickets are priced at £10, and it's actually free entry for under 18s. You can actually get in touch with any of the members of the choir, so if you know Mike, he can sort you out. Or you can give a call to 01902 744447. That's 744447, a Wolverhampton number. Or you can even pay on the door, but I think you're probably best off getting your tickets in advance, aren't you, because it's going to be a busy night.
It should attract quite a bit of attention, yes. Yes, that's what we're hoping.
So that is A Song for All Seasons, an evening of music and readings, conducted by Ian Clark on Saturday the 18th of July. That's at 7:30 at the Beckminster Methodist Church in Penn, Wolverhampton. And if you do want tickets, that phone number again is 01902 744447. And you're always open to new members as well.
That's right. We've just set up a new scheme, actually, which is called Friends of Womburn Choral. Basically, people pay a small sponsorship fee and they get lots of additional features because of that, you know, like special reserve seats and free programmes and partly paid tickets as well, actually. So we're trying to push that at the moment. So Friends of Womburn Choral is called.
And you've got a Facebook group for that one?
It should be on the website, but what we're actually doing, if people come to this concert, there is actually an entry form at the back of the programme so people can fill that in and send their few pennies and become a friend of our choir, you know.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So if you want to be a friend, do that. Grab a form on the night or look for the website for the Wombourne and District Choral Society. If you are interested in becoming a member, rehearsals are actually held on Monday evenings from 7.30 to 9.30 during term time at the King's School in Regis Road in Tecknell. And for more information, you can actually contact the membership secretary, Carol Dixon, at cagsdixon@gmail.com. That's cagsdixon@gmail.com. And that all-important phone number, though, for tickets for the night on Saturday the 18th, 01902 744 447. Mike Coop, always good speaking to you. Thanks again. And we look
forward to
finding out the next thing that's taking place in your hometown as well.
Thank you very much indeed. Cheers. We have, by the way, in September, got another Scarecrow Festival coming up.
Well, we'll talk to you closer to the time on that one.
But I'll send you some notes on that when it's nearer the time.
We'll look forward to hearing about that here on the show. Mike, great speaking to you. Thanks again.
Thank you, Jason.
It's time for our final tune from Bookends. Dan and Pete here with us ahead of their gig at the Robin Tour on the 9th of July. And Dan, you've chosen the next song. You have the guitar so you can get away with anything, but you haven't told Pete what it is yet.
No, not yet.
Okay, so this is the point at which he finds out what he's going to sing. What is it going to be?
This is called Feeling Groovy.
Slow down, you're moving too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just a kicking down the cobblestone.
I kind of want you to carry on playing till to the end of time. Okay, because it sounds absolutely brilliant. And if you do want to go along, that is at the Robin 2, the 9th of July. That's Thursday. And if you want tickets, robin.co.uk or give the box office a call on 01902 401211. Anything else that should be known about you two lads before you head off? Anything to share with us?
Yes, if people want to go to our website, on there you can actually buy a live CD that we recorded back in March 2013. Yeah, it's got all the main hits on it, so it might be worth checking out.
It's like an alternate best of, which is actually really good.
That's it, yeah.
That's the way. it sounds fantastic just hearing you play live in the studio, so thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And well worth by the sounds of it getting along to that gig on Thursday the 9th of July. But once again, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us on. Thank you.
From Tuesday the 17th of November to Saturday the 21st, Last Night a DJ Saved My Life brings musical madness and mayhem to the stage of Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. And the man behind most of it is David Hasselhoff, the half who joins me on the phone now. Hello.
You're right. I am the madness man behind this.
Now, it must be a great show to be part of. Some fantastic tunes from the 80s and 90s. And a bit of a story to stitch it all together.
Well, yeah. You know, I do a show. I got sucked into a show about, 2 years ago. Someone said, hey, we can pay you a bunch of money if you fly to Oslo and you stand on stage and you play the harp. I said, well, what do you want me to sing? No, you can just do the Baywatch theme and sing Jump in My Car and Looking for Freedom and run in slow motion. We'll put a big wave behind you and we'll bring on Rick Astley and we'll bring on Samantha Fox and Hathaway. And it worked brilliantly. And I'm going, wow. And between the acts, they showed a video of the 80s. And I said, look at the audience. The audience was young kids. I said, well, how do you know Looking for Freedom? They said, it's a song about freedom in our heart. They had no idea that anything to do with Germany or the Berlin Wall. And they were like 18. And then there were people there that were their parents coming to see the show because the people that were on stage were from their era. And the music was the 80s and 90s. So it was like, it's a really interesting audience. And it was a really different audience. It wasn't like a heavy metal or a festival audience. So everybody was kind of cool and kind of clean cut and kind of like just out to have a good time. And I thought, this is really interesting. And so I was approached by some guys that were quite successful with Boogie Nights and Dreamboats and Petticoats, two shows that were similar that did music of the 60s and 70s. And I was, you know, I had a real good run with the Pantos, and I've got a real good run with doing my own show, and especially in Germany. And I have a hit record out now called True Survivor. It's got 15 million views on YouTube. That's a song that is a song written in the vein of the 80s. So it seemed okay. It seems like it's going to work. But if I, you know, I said, I want to be a part of it. I want to, you know, really figure out what the story is. And the story is basically a DJ dad who has a, you know, a party daughter, and she lives with a mom in the UK, and she comes back to see her dad, who runs the clubs in Ibiza. And the mom has kind of painted a picture of the dad that he's not. And she and the dad kind of bond again, and he's kind of trying to be a parent and say, you know, don't do as I do as I say. And I think every parent can relate to that. And I think that's kind of the mainstay of the story. But the fun part of the story is really Ibiza and how it changed and how the 80s and 90s just kicked it into high gear. And a lot of that had to do with all the kids partying, and some of them partying a little bit too hard and taking some drugs they shouldn't have. But more importantly, it plays on the music of that time. And we've got a set of music that everybody will be singing from when they walk in. I'll be there for you. From Friends, and then when they're walking out, they'll be singing everything with probably ears that are hurting and squinting eyes. And then if we can do the foam like we want to do foam, they'll be wet too. But I promise that you won't leave the show without getting your money's worth. And if anybody knows or anybody's ever been to any one of my shows, they say, that was the weirdest experience ever, but I loved it. Because I mean, we'll do shows, proper shows, like I've done Broadway and the producers and the West End. So I can do whatever set you want. And we kind of tailor it to the audience. And the difference between this is you're not just going to see the Hoff and see the actors. The actors are going to be in the audience, and the audience is going to be on stage. And we use that. We break the fourth wall a lot. And that was my bringing to the table. They went, really, you want to do that? I said, absolutely. Yeah, come on, let's go. Because you never really know what the audience is going to say. And sometimes they can write a much funnier show than you could ever think of.
So it's certainly a different show every night, and you have to react to that and enjoy it as well. But any show that includes a theme from S-Express as well as a theme from Baywatch with Rick Astley and Tiffany thrown in between, it's going to be an absolutely amazing night by the sounds of it. And of course it is the Hoff as well, so do you still find that there are loads of the ladies in the audience imagine you in slow motion with a pair of red trunks and a buoyancy aid?
You know, we got that's how we opened the second act. Yeah, I do that a lot. In fact, I was in Nottingham, and the guy says, you know, in Nottingham, they all take off their shirts when they sing it, and they hear the Baywatch drums, and it's the last night of the school year. And actually, if you say to the guys, take off everything, well, they usually do. So I went on and I sang, some people stand, let's get naked. I don't know why I even said that. And the whole place started taking off their clothes. I got in a lot of trouble from my girlfriend because she was seeing all these YouTube videos. Because she said, what did you do last night? Oh, we just did a little show in Nottingham. And, you know, and she goes, are these the girls that play the pirates? And why are they only wearing their bras? I don't know. I didn't see them. I was singing, and they were behind me. And why is there a man on the pole with no clothes? And I said, well, and it was really a fun night, to be honest. I'm not planning on doing that in this show, but you know, if it gets to be a little fun and a little crazy, we'll see how far we can go. Why not? It's just fun, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go to the theater, and you know, it's. I mean, you see Cats. Cats is great, but after you see Cats, how many Cats can you see? There's one song in the show. There's a million songs in the show that everybody can relate to, and you're going to walk away singing like, you know, Mamma Mia is not my favorite show, but you walk away singing those songs. You know, I'm sorry, and that's what it's about. You know, so it's a sing along, have fun, and come see David Hasselhoff for a minute and talk a little bit about parenting and kids. But more importantly, it's just going to be. a big throwback to the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, you're throwing a bit of the huff and it all goes absolutely mad. Well, last night a DJ saved my life. As I say, he's at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from Tuesday the 17th to Saturday the 21st of November. The box office is on 01902 429212. David Winnie's there. Will probably end up answering the phones as well. You know what he's like. He seems crazy. You can go to grandtheatre.co.uk to find out more and to book your tickets that way. But Mr. Hasselhoff, sir, what would your one underlying message be to people who are thinking about coming to see the show?
Jump in my car. I want to take you home. Come and have a night and party Hoff style. You'll walk away with your ears hurting, your eyes squinting, and singing songs all the way home. So just come and party Hoff style. And if you hang around long enough, we're going to do lots of meets and greets. So we'll be, it's kind of like the Hoff Live, and you're invited.
David Hasselhoff, thank you for joining us.
Cheers, mate.
Wildfire Folk takes place on the 27th of June over in Lichfield. I have the musical director on the phone now, Catherine Goff. Hello.
Hello there.
How's it all going?
We're very excited about this gig that we've got coming up, because we're hoping to use it as a vehicle to attract new members. So we're going to be at the Wade Street Church near the Garrick Theatre in Lichfield on that day.
Now, Wildfire itself started off as a one-off workshop and sort of grown massively from there, hasn't it, as part of Lichfield Arts?
Yeah, absolutely. We've sort of gone through our first few fluxes of members, because obviously when they get to university age, we sort of start again. So we've had lots of various incarnations of Wildfire Folk, and we're obviously just about to lose some more now because we're coming to the end of the school year. We tend to get quite a few gigs in towards the end of the summer to really sort of end on a high each year.
And that you actually accepted it between the ages of 12 and 25. So if they went off to uni and wanted to come back and join in for a couple of years, you'd let them, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. In fact, we positively encourage it. But we've got a few members who are coming back this year who went off to university last year, some from Nottingham, some from Huddersfield, as far as Huddersfield, and Birmingham and Newcastle as well. So we do just, it must be the energy, I think. They've had such a brilliant experience whilst they've been at school that they just can't wait to come back and join in again.
I should think so too. It does sound like quite good fun. So obviously the clue's in the title. Is it mostly folk music?
It is, yes. It is.
But where are you taking inspiration for those songs from? Are the kids hearing things and saying, no, I want to play that?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because actually, although folk is sort of thought of as the traditional music of a particular country or place, we certainly draw from that. So we will play traditional tunes or sing traditional songs from England, and then also, you know, we draw from other places, Europe, America. But we like to put our own little twist on it, and I think that's where the difference for our band comes in, because we tend to fuse it with rhythms and bass lines from all over the world. And as I said, the children have been enthused by this, and they've not only gone out looking for things themselves amongst the tradition, but also started composing in that vein themselves, arranging and composing music that we then can perform alongside the music that's couple of hundred years old.
Yeah, so a bit of something for everybody.
Indeed.
Now, this event on the 27th, you've got around 20 plus members at the moment, so they'll all be along. So you are losing a few, so you do want some exchanges. So please, if you've got kids, grandkids, whatever, bring them along. They might get interested in wanting to play. But what time does it all take place?
So we are on at 7 o'clock. We are going to be sharing the stage with another ensemble from Lichfield called Youth Voices, who are connected to the cathedral, but they're a group of singers of 14 to 18-year-olds. So it's really quite an exciting evening of music.
Yep, the music of the youth, literally, of the city of Lichfield and surrounding areas, because they'll be coming in from all over the place to do this. If you want to get tickets, then how do you do that?
Well, Lichfield Arts, they have a website and they are selling tickets. I mean, if you should happen to know somebody that is a member of the band, there's also tickets being sold personally through that. But Lichfield Arts website is definitely the place to go in the first instance.
So I'm going to guess that's lichfieldarts.org.uk, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
So that'll be the way to get hold of that one. And as you say, you've got your own website too. So what do you
do?
Google Wildfire Folk?
Just Google it, but it is wildfirefolk.co.uk.
And you can see some of the stuff that's gone on there. You'd even buy your CDs. You come along on the night, enjoy it, maybe buy a CD on the night. If not, you can get it online later on.
Yeah, and we keep going through the money that we make through the selling of our CDs. And also we've been off to festivals, and occasionally they're kind enough to pay us for the slots that we put on at their festivals. And that's basically how we earn the money in order to keep us moving forward.
And you've got a wide range of musicians in there. You're looking at everything from saxophones through guitars and loads of other stuff in between.
Yeah, flutes, trumpets, clarinets, We've even got melodicas this year, cellos, violins, and then we've got quite a funky percussion section just to bring it all together.
Or wildfirefolk.co.uk, artsfest.org.uk. You can get your tickets for that event taking place on the 27th of June over in Lichfield. Have a great night. I'm sure it'll be a fantastic evening of music, and we look forward to hearing from you with a new intake and maybe something that's going on in the latter part of this year.
Thanks ever so much.
Cheers. Ciao for now. See you, Catherine.
Bye. Thank you.
Well, that's it all for this week. Thank you so much for joining. It's been good to have you along. Please join me for episode 314 when I still am being promised by Zoe she's going to come in for a show. Fingers crossed we'll have her with us next week. See you soon. Ciao for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.